You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Nintendo just released a ton more information about Mario Kart World through the latest Ask the Developer. So we are here with five really fun things that we didn't know about the game that they were talking about that's getting us excited to play in 2 weeks.
Yeah, these Ask the Developer articles can be a bit hit or miss.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're more informative than others, but I thought this one had quite a bit going for it. And since Nintendo's really slowed down the release of information since the Mario Kart World Direct about a month ago, it's nice to get some fresh details. And yeah, there's five really interesting things that we found that we want to talk about here.
Yeah, we also we're so in our Mario Kart era right now because we do have this week's podcast focused on our final thoughts about Mario Kart World. So we go into all the details about everything that's been shared so far and then what we think of everything. And if that wasn't enough Mario Kart for you, we also have a very special Nintendo story time about Mario Kart 7 that's coming out as well. So there's just a lot of Mario Kart stuff on the channel. So we hope that you give all of it a watch if you're excited about the game.
2 weeks, though. Two weeks away from this game coming out.
Let's get into
our list here. So the first thing that we wanted to talk about is this really interesting fact that the game actually started development on Nintendo Switch. And they gave a very specific date for when they started, which was pretty much immediately after they finished the work on Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. March 2017. Can these poor developers get a break, please?
Sure can't.
My gosh. And they talked about how they felt like they had perfected this formula of doing track-to-track racing with Mario Kart. So they kind of thought, like, gosh, we need to do something a little bit different because it's hard to improve on what we've done here. And I think that was the right instinct for them to have. So they came up with this idea of doing the next game in this interconnected world.
Yes, that's very exciting. I'm so glad that even back in 2017 when, you know, Switch was just coming out and doing so well and they were thinking about Mario Kart and rethinking the formula, like pushing themselves to rethink the formula of Mario Kart, that just bodes well, I think, for the future of Mario Kart overall, that they are constantly thinking of new ideas and how to improve on a formula that they have perfected in a game that's already super fun. So yeah, I was excited to hear that even in the early days, they were already creatively, you know, thinking about how we can make this different and what is the next step for Mario Kart.
And it does make sense that they started thinking about this as a Switch game because who could have guessed that Mario Kart 8 Deluxe would become what it became, this just generation-spanning phenomenon that would not stop selling. So I think that was a surprise to them as well. I imagine they thought, well, we'll probably need to make another Mario Kart game later on in this generation, so we better get started. So that all makes sense to me.
Yeah, there, you know, a lot of Nintendo, gosh, I don't want to say all because I don't have to go back and like look and count, but a lot of Nintendo hardware generations includes a Mario Kart game because Nintendo knows we were there for a lot of these Mario Kart launches, that this is a very like broad reaching game where just a lot of people like this game. It's easy for you to play. You don't have to be like super good to have fun. Right here is an example of that person. It's something that Nintendo loves because it's all about this like multiplayer experience with your friends and family. That's what they always strive to do on a Nintendo platform. So it's always like whenever we're in a hardware generation, we always kind of were thinking in the back of our heads, like, when's the next Mario Kart game coming out? And when are we going to start working on it? So totally makes sense that they were already thinking about it. But of course, again, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe became the phenomenon that it did. And we talked about this a lot, how Nintendo themselves were really surprised by this. And it sort of was a fortuitous thing where it like bought them time. And they didn't have to rush or compromise on, you know, the next Mario Kart game you know, coming to the Switch generation, they could like hold off and make sure that they have, they can, you know, use more powerful hardware and put everything into the next Mario Kart game that they wanted to do. So that's kind of cool that it happened. It's like a fortuitous kind of, you know, the universe was doing a thing and it happened, and it was like the fortuitous thing to happen. So kind of cool.
Right. So as you can imagine, with an idea that ambitious, they did start to bump up against the technical limitations of the original Nintendo Switch, and they rattled off a lot of things. We're like, we're not sure if we could have done this. They talked about the frame rate and how important 60 frames per second is for a Mario Kart game. They're like, we're really not confident that we can achieve that with this new sort of vision. They talked about how implementing split screen, which has been such a mainstay in Mario Kart, they're like, we might have to make some compromises with that that we don't feel great about. They did, from the beginning, want to do this 24 racers idea, which is twice as many as they typically have had in these games. That was going to be hard. And then they talked about how just the visual design of the world would have been a lot more limited. And they talk about things like, you know, the number of trees that are in the environment. Like, we couldn't do that. It would have felt less alive. So they were really on a tightrope of, we have this idea, it seems cool, it's big and ambitious, but the hardware that we're on, we're a little bit kneecapped with that. And they ended up getting this life raft in 2020 of, oh, the Switch 2 is coming around. What if we start to adapt that idea over to the Switch 2? And it made it sound like they had not been, you know, completely 100% heads down on this idea, because they'd been working on the Booster Course Pass games as well. So some people might jump to and say like, oh, well, they just slapped, a Switch 1 game onto the Switch 2. Now, it sounds like they really got going on this game after they learned about the Switch 2 and had this sense of relief of like, oh, we can finally do this idea.
Yeah, we've been around these developers a lot in our time at Nintendo. And this like sense of like, we can't accomplish everything that we wanted to on limited hardware or within a hardware generation that just doesn't have the power to sustain these ideas is something that is not like taken very lightly at Nintendo. Like, it's such a developer first kind of company where they will do anything possible to make sure sort of the vision of the developers are realized. And so this idea that they were like bumping up against like hardware limitations, I think was very frustrating and something that, you know, I'm sure that they have had brought up to the broader team working on the next hardware and thinking, what are some of the solutions we can do here? And again, very fortunate that Mario Kart Deluxe started to do what it was doing, and they had, you know, the ability to kind of band-aid over Mario Kart Deluxe with these booster courses, sort of extending the life of it. It worked. That's why we saw that kind of later in the Mario Kart 8 Deluxe life cycle. And then they gave themselves, they bought themselves time to be able to actually like do what they wanted to do, realize their vision on Switch 2. And I'm sure that was like a huge sense of relief and just something that was like, you know, they probably felt very lucky, because it's like, thank goodness, Mario Kart 8, we can let this run. Like, it's going to be all right. We have the time to be able to do what we, you know, our vision was for the next Mario Kart game. So again, very fortunate, very lucky for them that happened.
All right, on to fun fact number two, which is something we've all asked ourselves. Like, why is this game Mario Kart World and not just Mario Kart 9? And they addressed this, and they had a very clear answer for this. And it goes back to the point of saying, we perfected the old style of Mario Kart, where you are racing on a track, the game loads, you go on to the next track. So they thought, well, if we were just going to do more of that, then that would be Mario Kart 9. But this is something completely different, and this is something bigger and more ambitious, and we're kind of breaking free of the limitations that we had before. So they said, no, we're going to get away from the numbers, and we like the name Mario Kart World. And they had this idea for the name very early, and they had some really interesting concepts of different logos that they showed in this article. And some of these are very different than the others. Some of them have a much more sort of retro feel to them. But they also had this idea of this world map that they were very captivated by. And we talk about this in the podcast that's out tomorrow. Like, that's a fun map to just look at.
Yeah, we looked at it for a long time in the podcast.
Yeah, you can just kind of daydream on it. So I think they were really onto something with, yes, this is a compelling new vision. Like, let's really emphasize as much as we can versus just slapping Mario Kart 9.
Yeah. It's definitely a title that encapsulates the spirit of this game. I do wonder, though, because he says very clearly, we decided to drop, this is Mr. Yabuki, we decided to drop the numbering this time.
Oh.
And go with a new title. I wonder what happens next time.
Oh, gosh.
Is it going to be like Mario Kart World 2? or is it going to be back to Mario Kart 9? Anyway, semantics.
My mind is reeling, too.
But it is cool to see this new formula realized with the name. It really gives you a very clear indication that we are in sort of this new era of Mario Kart by dropping the numbering. And again, yeah, I love some of these logos. The one with the two flags that's on the little like banner.
Yeah.
That's make that into a shirt. That's very cute.
I love it.
All
right. Fun fact number three. They realized, again, like they're in the shadow of Mario Kart 8, which again, they felt like they had perfected the formula. Like, we need to do a lot of things drastically different to indicate that this is something new and different. So they talked about how they really visually had to go the opposite path of Mario Kart 8. And they were very clear. They said Mario Kart 8 has this sleek, futuristic art style. You're driving with anti-gravity, and that was kind of the visual thematic of it. And it's true. If you look at a lot of the elements of Mario Kart 8, it does feel very futuristic. So they wanted to go in the opposite direction, and they really rallied around this key idea that kind of permeated the whole development project overall, which is playfulness.
Yeah. You can see the design of Mario very clearly going from, he looks kind of like menacing a little bit in the Mario Kart 8 artwork.
Scowling.
He's kind of like doing the competitive scowl phase. And yeah, even the carts look very sleek.
Sharp
with the
edges.
Yeah, with the anti-grav wheels. This is clearly, you know, to indicate what was interesting and new about Mario Kart 8. So of course, this art style and sort of this direction worked well for that game. But yeah, the differences with Mario's expression. And we were talking a lot about like, sort of the way that they've been sharing images of how the carts look in this like real world environment where there's like dust clouds and there's like movement. You can really see the difference in the style for Mario Kart World. And I really do like the idea of the expressiveness of the characters, because yeah, we've definitely had some criticisms around how Mario sometimes can have a bit of a bland expression. I think with Mario Wonder, we really started to see Mario have so much more personality just within his facial expressions. And I see that for all of the characters here in Mario Kart World. Like, they have these really like playful facial expressions. There's like different kind of angles that you're seeing the characters at. There's a lot of different character redesigns that we've seen. And I think that's a great future for like the cast of Mario characters, just giving them overall more personality and kind of more like life in them is really exciting. And I really love this.
And the game comparison that they made of wanting to recapture the sense of playfulness is the original Super Mario Kart on the Super NES, which now makes it also clear why they released that visual with the billboard.
Yes.
With the characters from Super Mario Kart with the Mario Kart World characters lined up next to them. And we actually, just by coincidence, we played this yesterday. Some Super Mario Kart earlier this week. And now it makes a lot more sense. It's clicking a lot more. And they were even talking about how, you know, the sense of 24 characters jammed onto these roads, like it feels very tight and hectic, a lot like those smaller courses in Super Mario Kart did. And there's a lot of other kind of smaller, you know, things that make sense here where it looks like the bigger characters like Bowser and Donkey Kong are just absolutely stuffed into these into cards. Like, cart. You're going to have to get the jaws of life to get him out of this thing. And again, compare that to the original characters where they're just like, but there's no way these characters fit on these things.
It's a little
you're breaking the wheels off.
His little Koopa butt cheeks are just like hanging off the sides, you know?
Right.
We're so funny that we were playing Super Mario Kart just literally a day ago. And like, we were both laughing at the sort of the expressiveness that the characters had, like when you look at like the winner's screen, like there's all these characters with Donkey Kong's mouth just like wide open with the little like the celebratory arms and things like that. We're like, oh my gosh, it's so funny that they sort of had this right from the start, and they're kind of like going back to that with Mario Kart World, obviously in a more, you know, capable way from a hardware perspective, but it's like the spirit was there from the very beginning, and now it's kind of like a full circle sort of back, you know, going back to that original feeling of Super Mario World or Super Mario Kart. So that's very exciting.
Right. And they talked about how this playfulness concept kind of became pervasive through the whole team. And then the sound team chimed in and said, you know, we integrated a lot more harmonica, which is more of a playful instrument versus maybe a bit of the harder edge of the Mario Kart 8 soundtrack. So I thought that was interesting how just everybody got on board with this idea.
Yeah. Instead of more cowbell, we need more harmonica.
Speaking of cow, that brings us to fun fact number 4. So I think we all had a question about some of the new additions to the character roster, and you know, starting with Cow and working our way down. Of like, this is a different type of character than we typically get in a Mario Kart game. And what was the thinking behind that? So they just went ahead and explained it. And it did all start with Cow, where some of the concept artists were doodling, and they came up with this visual of the cow driving a truck on the Moo Moo Meadows track. And they said, wait, the cow's driving, maybe we could just go ahead and implement that into the game. And the rest was history.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting connecting of the dots from the cow concept art to, you know, cow being playable. And then again, sort of rolling down, there are so many characters in the character roster that were previously sort of like NPC-ish characters, or even like characters that they, you know, the development team classified as like obstacles. You know, there's just like this random enemy like sitting in the road, and it's going to be an obstacle to you as the player character. But just adding them as like playable drivers is a very interesting direction to go in. I'm still a little conflicted on this. I love the cow. Let's be very clear about that. I know people are going to come at me if I say anything bad about the cow. I do love the cow. It's very cute. But it is kind of a departure from, like, you know, the range of characters, like, it is very broad. Like, now you have Mario, Peach, Daisy, you know, whoever, and then like cow and like, you know, some of the other more lesser known enemies or NPC-ish characters that have filled in this roster. So interesting direction. I'm still kind of wrapping my head around it a little bit, but I do love all the cow concept art, and I definitely will be trying a race as the cow. So yeah, I guess it's pretty fun.
Yeah, I think they acknowledged this, and they said that they spent a lot of time and effort making these, quote, NPC drivers not feel inferior to the classic Mario roster that we know and love. I think it remains to be seen how much they have accomplished that. I think we'll need to wait to play the game to say for sure. But yeah, this idea of taking characters that had been obstacles and tracks before and putting them in the game, that's very interesting. And I'm glad that they gave us this little bit of background about how that came to be. That said, where the heck are Koopalings? Where the heck is somebody like Cappy? I'm not going to stop yelling about this.
Cappy's not an obstacle. He's a friend. Cappy's more than he an deserves obstacle. To be here.
Yes.
Could we just have not named the cow something else?
Moo Moo.
Moo Moo would have been a better name for the character. Look at his face. It's a Moo Moo, not a cow.
Our fifth and final fun fact is about the music. And I think we both are huge fans of the Mario Kart soundtrack. I still listen to it all the time. It's up there. It's an all-timer. And the sound team in this Ask the Developer dropped a bombshell that there are over 200 tracks in this game.
Goodness.
And for comparison, I just checked on Nintendo Music, the full soundtrack for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe has 99 tracks. So this is more than double the amount of music. Wow.
Wow. How much harmonica are we getting versus saxophone? Though,
how many of those feature the harmonica?
I do like
it. We got the blues traveler guy to solo.
Oh, it's both. He does saxophone and harmonica. Oh my God. Wow. That is a mind-blowing thought to have blues travelers cover the 200 Mario Kart tracks in Mario Kart.
It's the
World.
Crossover you never knew you needed or wanted.
You need that. You need it. Where is that guy?
Maybe we don't actually need it.
who even remembers that guy besides someone our age? Anyways, yeah, sounds like there are tons of brand new arrangements. They also did live recordings. Oh my God. They just have so much stuff. And you have this like jukebox thing where you can like play the tracks and things like that while you're driving around and stuff like that, which sounds so cool. And yes, Mario Kart, I think Mario Kart music is probably up there with my favorite Nintendo music of all time. It's like very like, you can just listen to it randomly and it just sounds fun and good and makes you happy and smile. And yeah, I love this idea that they've added so much more music. When are they doing a Mario Kart concert?
Sign me
up. Sign me up. Yeah, seriously.
Some people have been asking, so, you know, in open world games like a Grand Theft Auto, there's different radio stations, so you can have a bit of control over what is playing. Sounds like you're not going to be able to do that in this game, but they do have a reason, which is like they go extensively into detail about how they tuned the way that one song transitions into the other in different mode. They wanted to make it make sense. It sounds like they have tuned the music to fit with the day and night cycle that they have, where 24 minutes is 24 hours in the game, the dynamic weather that they have. So, you know, as always, like there's a lot more thought that goes into this than you might even realize. So I appreciate this background and I really hope that they get this soundtrack on Nintendo Music
like immediately
ASAP after June 5th.
Give it
please.
To me.
Please.
It kind of reminds me of the Animal Crossing approach to music, where like you do have like the nighttime songs that's different from the daytime songs. Like we're creating a vibe, people. We're not just like, you know, slap in the music everywhere and you can just do whatever which way you want. They want to create like this environment for you, which I do really appreciate. I want to do that. I want to spend like 24 game hours like free roaming in the game and listening to all the tracks, and like I feel like that could be a video that we do later, because it sounds like it would be a very fun experience just to see the different changes in the world in that 24-hour span. So yeah, I love the thoughtfulness. I'm such a huge fan of Mario Kart music. So I'm just the idea of having so many tracks that we'll be able to like listen to and enjoy as we play hundreds and hundreds of hours of this game, I'm sure, is really cool.
Yeah, so those are our five fun facts, and it was great to hear more from the team. Great to see Mr. Yabuki, who we knew quite well from working on Mario Kart 8 and ARMS as well. Don't forget about ARMS.
Oh, yeah.
The great legacy of ARMS.
The women still think he's very handsome.
Please refer to previous episodes of the podcast if you did not understand that reference.
I looked very carefully at his tiny portrait. I was like, still handsome.
Yes. But I don't know. I came away from this feeling more hype. They definitely found a way to get some fresh new info here that we were kind of wondering about.
Yes, very exciting stuff. Let us know in the comments how you feel about Mario Kart World. Did you read this? Ask the developer. It's quite long, so maybe you're just going to watch this video and we've like summarized it for you. But let us know what you're excited about for this game. We're 2 weeks away, so it's coming soon and we'll soon be playing it, which is going to be very exciting. But yeah, we're going to wrap this video up and see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.